was like someone with a cooking show on PBS. Pretty soon she was unwrapping Eleanor's hair and standing behind her. Eleanor wanted to look at Park again, now that she could, but she didn't want him looking back. Her face felt so heavy and sticky, she probably looked like one of the designing women. Park scooted his chair closer to hers and started bouncing his fist on her knee. It took Eleanor a second to realize he was challenging her to a game of rock, paper, scissors. She played along. God, any excuse to touch him. Any excuse not to look at him directly. He'd rubbed his eyes so he didn't look painted anymore, but he still looked like something Eleanor didn't have words for.
"That's how Park keep little kids busy during haircuts," his mom said. "You must look scared, Eleanor. Don't worry, I promise, no cutting."
Eleanor and Park both made scissors. His mom rubbed half a can of mousse into her hair, then blew it dry with a diffuser, which Eleanor had never heard of before, but was apparently very, very important. According to Park's mom, everything Eleanor was doing with her hair, washing it with whatever, brushing it, tying in beads and silk flowers, was dead wrong. She should be diffusing and scrunching, and if possible, sleeping on a satin pillowcase.
"I think you look really good with bangs," his mom said. "Maybe next time we try bangs."
There will never be a next time, Eleanor promised herself and God.
"Okay, all done."
Park's mom was all smiles.
"Looks so pretty. Ready to see?"
She turned Eleanor around to the mirror.
"Ta-da!"
Eleanor looked at her own lap.
"Have to look, Eleanor. Look, mirror, so pretty."
Eleanor couldn't. She could feel them both watching her. She wanted to disappear, to drop through a trap door. This whole thing was a bad idea, a terrible idea. She was going to cry. She was going to make a scene. Park's mom was going to go back to hating her.
"Hey, Mindy."
Park's dad opened the door and leaned into the garage.
"Phone call." "Oh, hey, look at you, Eleanor. You look like a solid gold dancer."
"See?" his mom said. "I told you, pretty. Don't look in mirror until I come back. Looking in mirror, best part."
She hurried into the house, and Eleanor hid her face in her hands, trying not to mess anything up. She felt Park's hands on her wrists.
"I'm sorry," he said. "I guess I knew you'd hate this, but I didn't think you'd hate it this much."
"It's just so embarrassing."
"Why?"
"Because you're all looking at me."
"I'm always looking at you," he said.
"I know. I wish you'd stop."
"She's just trying to get to know you. This is her thing."
"Do I look like a solid gold dancer?"
"No."
"Oh, my God," she said. "I do."
"No, you look... just look."
"I don't want to."
"Look now," he said, "before my mom gets back."
"Only if you close your eyes."
"Okay. They're closed."
Eleanor uncovered her face and looked in the mirror. It wasn't as embarrassing as she thought, because it was like looking at a different person, someone with cheekbones and giant eyes and really wet lips. Her hair was still curly, curlier than ever, but calmer somehow, less deranged. Eleanor hated it. She hated all of it.
"Can I open my eyes?" Park asked.
"No."
"Are you crying?"
"No." Of course she was. She was going to ruin her fake face, and Park's mom was going to go back to hating her. Park opened his eyes and sat in front of Eleanor on the vanity.
"Is it so bad?" he asked.
"It's not me."
"Of course it's you."
I look like I'm in costume, like I'm trying to be something that I'm not. Like she was trying to be pretty and popular. It was the trying part that was so disgusting.
"I think your hair looks really nice," Park said.
"It's not my hair."
"It is."
"I don't want your mom to see me like this. I don't want to hurt her feelings."
"Kiss me."
"What?" He kissed her. Eleanor felt her shoulders fall and her stomach untwist. Then it started twisting in the other direction. She pulled away. Are you kissing me because I look like someone else?
You don't look like someone else. Plus, that's crazy.
Do you like me better like this? She asked. Because I'm never going to look like this again.
I like you the same. I kind of miss your freckles.
He rubbed her cheeks with his sleeve.
There, he said.
You look like a different person, she said, and you're just wearing eyeliner.
Do you like me better?
She rolled her eyes, but she felt the heat in her neck. You look different. You look unsettling.
You look like you, he said. You with the volume turned up.
She looked in the mirror again.
The thing is, Park said, I'm pretty sure my mom was holding back. I think she thinks this is the natural look.
Eleanor laughed. The door to the house opened.
Oh, I told you guys to wait, his mom said. Were you surprised?
Eleanor nodded.
Did you cry? Oh, I missed it.
Sorry if I messed it up, Eleanor said.
No mess, his mom said. Waterproof mascara and Stay Put foundation.
Thank you, Eleanor said carefully. I could hardly believe the difference.
I'll make you a kit, his mom said. These all colors I never use anyway. Here, sit down, Park. I trim your hair while we're here. Looking shaggy.
Eleanor sat in front of him and played rock, paper, scissors on his knee.
Park. She looked like a different person, and Park didn't know if he liked it better, or at all. He couldn't figure out why it upset her so much. Sometimes it seemed like she was trying to hide everything that was pretty about her, like she wanted to look ugly. That was something his mother would say, which is why he hadn't said it to Eleanor. Did that count as holding back? He got why Eleanor tried so hard to look different. Sort of. It was because she was different, because she wasn't afraid to be. Or maybe she was just more afraid of being like everyone else. There was something really exciting about that. He liked being near that kind of brave and crazy. Unsettling how, he'd wanted to ask her. The next morning, Park took the onyx eyeliner into the bathroom and put it on. He was messier than his mom, but he thought that might look better. More masculine. He looked in the mirror. This really make your eyes pop, his mom always told her customers. And it was true. The eyeliner did make his eyes pop. It also made him look even less white. Then Park did his hair like he usually did, flared up in the middle, all messy and tall, like it was reaching for something. Usually, as soon as he did that, Park combed his hair out and down again. Today, he left it wild. His dad flipped at breakfast. Flipped. Park tried to sneak out without seeing him, but his mom was non-negotiable about breakfast. Park hung his head over the cereal bowl. What's wrong with your hair? His dad asked. Nothing. Wait a minute, look at me. I said look at me. Park lifted his head but looked away. What the fuck, Park?
Jamie, his mother said. Look at him, Mindy. He's wearing makeup. Are you fucking kidding me, Park? No excuse to cuss, his mom said.
She looked nervously at Park, like maybe this was her fault. Maybe it was. Maybe she shouldn't have tried out lipstick samples on him when he was in kindergarten. Not that he wanted to wear lipstick. Probably.
Like hell it isn't, his dad roared. Go wash your face, Park.
Park stayed where he was.
Go wash your face, Park.
Park took a bite of cereal.
Jamie? His mom said.
No, Mindy, no! I let these boys do pretty much anything they damn well please, but no, Park is not leaving this house looking like a girl.
Plenty of guys wear makeup, Park said.
What? What are you even talking about?
David Bowie, Park said.
Mark Bolan, I'm not listening to this. Wash your face.
Why? Park pressed his fists into the table.
Because I said so. Because you look like a girl.
So what else is new? Park shoved his cereal bowl away from him.
What did you say?
I said what else is new. Isn't that what you think?
Park felt tears on his cheeks, but he didn't want to touch his eyes.
Go to school, Park,
his mom said softly.
You miss your bus.
Mindy,
his dad said, just barely restraining himself.
They'll tear him apart.
You tell me, Park, all grown up now, almost man, make own decisions. So let him make own decisions. Let him go.
His dad didn't say anything. He'd never raise his voice to Park's mom. Park saw his opportunity and left. He went to his own bus stop, not Eleanor's. He wanted to deal with Steve before he saw her. If Steve was going to beat the shit out of him for this, Park would prefer that Eleanor not be in the audience. But Steve hardly mentioned it.
Hey, Park, what the fuck, man? Are you wearing makeup?
Yeah, Park said, holding onto his backpack. Everyone around Steve tittered, waiting to see what would happen next.
You kind of look like Ozzy, man, Steve said. You look ready to bite the head off a fucking bat.
Everybody laughed. Steve bared his teeth at Tina and growled. Then it was over. When Eleanor got on the bus, she was in a good mood.
You're here. I thought maybe you were sick when you weren't at my corner.
He looked up at her. She looked surprised, then sat down quietly and looked at her hands. Do I look like one of the solid gold dancers? He asked finally, when he couldn't take any more quiet.
No,
she said, sidelong glancing.
You look...
unsettling? He asked. She laughed and nodded. Unsettling how? He asked her. She kissed him with tongue. On the bus. Chapter 36. Park. Park told Eleanor not to come over after school. He figured he was grounded. He washed his face as soon as he got home and sent himself to his room. His mom came in to check on him. Am I grounded? He asked.
I don't know,
she said.
Did you have a good day at school?
Meaning, did anyone try to flush his face down the toilet? It was fine, he said. A couple of kids had called Park names in the halls, but it didn't hurt like he thought it might. Lots of other people said he looked cool. His mom sat on his bed. She looked like she'd had a long day. You could see her lip liner. She stared at a jumble of Star Wars action figures piled up on the shelf over his bed. He hadn't touched them for years.
Park, she said, do you want to look like girl? Is that what this about? Eleanor dressed like boy, you look like girl?
No, Park said. I just like it. I like the way it feels.
Like girl?
No, he said. Like myself.
Your dad.
I don't want to talk about him. His mother sat for another minute, then left. Park stayed in his room until Josh came to get him for dinner. His dad didn't look up when Park sat down. Where's Eleanor? His dad asked. I thought I was grounded. You're not grounded, his dad said, concentrating on his meatloaf. Park looked around the table. Only Josh would look back at him.
Are you going to talk to me about this morning? Park asked.
His dad took another bite, chewed it carefully, and swallowed. No, Park. At the moment, I can't think of a single thing I'd like to say to you.
Chapter 37. Eleanor. Park was right. They were never alone. She thought about sneaking out again, but the risk was incomprehensible, and it was so effing cold out she'd probably lose an ear to frostbite, which her mom would definitely notice. She'd already noticed the mascara, even though it was light brown and said, subtle, natural look right on the package. Tina gave it to me, Eleanor said. Her mom's an Avon lady. If she just changed Park's name to Tina every time she lied, it only felt like one big lie instead of a million small ones. It was kind of funny to think about hanging out at Tina's house every day, doing each other's nails, trying on lip gloss. It would be awful if her mom actually met Tina somewhere, but that didn't seem likely. Her mom never talked to anybody in the neighborhood. If you weren't born in the flats, if your family didn't go back 10 generations, if your parents didn't have the same great-great-grandparents, you were an outsider. Park always said that was why people left him alone, even though he was weird and Asian, because his family had owned their land back when the neighborhood was still cornfields. Park. Eleanor blushed whenever she thought about him. She'd probably always done that, but now it was worse, because he was cute and cool before, but lately he seemed so much more of both. Even Denise and Bibi thought so. "He looks like a rock star," Denise said. "He looks like El DeBarge," Bibi agreed. He looked like himself, Eleanor thought, but bolder. Like Park, with the volume turned way up.
Park. They were never alone. They tried to make the walk from the bus to Park's house last forever, and sometimes they'd hang out on his front steps a while, until his mom opened the door and told them to come in from the cold. Maybe it would be better this summer. They could go outside. Maybe they could take walks. Maybe he'd get his driver's license after all. No. His dad hadn't even spoken to him since the day they fought. "What's up with your dad?" Eleanor asked him. She was standing one step below him on his front stoop. "He's mad at me."
"For what?"
"For not being like him." Eleanor looked dubious.
"Has he been mad at you for the last 16 years?
"Basically."
"But it always seemed like you got along," she said.
"No," Park said. "Never. I mean, we were kind of getting along for a while because I finally got in a fight and because he thought my mom was being too hard on you."
"I knew she didn't like me."
Eleanor poked Park's arm. "Well, now she likes you," he said. "So now my dad is back to not liking me."
"Your dad loves you," she said. It seemed to really matter to her.
Park shook his head. "Only because he has to. He's disappointed in me." Eleanor laid her hand on his chest, and his mom opened the door.
"Come in, come in," she said. "Too cold."
"Eleanor. Your hair looks nice, Eleanor," Park's mom said. "Thank you." Eleanor wasn't diffusing, but she was using the conditioner Park's mom had given her, and she'd actually found a satin pillowcase in the stack of towels and stuff in her bedroom closet, which was practically a sign from God that he wanted Eleanor to take better care of her hair. Park's mom really did seem to like her better now. Eleanor hadn't consented to another full-on makeover, but Park's mom was always trying new eyeshadows on her or messing with her hair while she sat at the kitchen table with Park. "I should have had girl," his mom said. "I should have had a family like this," Eleanor thought. And it only sometimes made her feel like a traitor to think so. Chapter 38. Eleanor. Wednesday nights were the worst. Park had taekwondo, so Eleanor went straight home after school, took a bath, then tried to hide in her room all night, reading. It was way too cold to play outside, so the little kids were crawling up the walls. When Richie came home, there was no place for anybody to hide. Ben was so afraid that Richie would send him to the basement early that he was sitting in the bedroom closet, playing with his cars. When Richie turned on Mike Hammer, their mom shooed Maisie into the bedroom too, even though Richie said she could stay. Maisie paced the room, bored and irritable. She walked over to the bunk bed. "Can I come up?" "No." "Please?" Their beds were junior-sized, smaller than a twin, just barely big enough for Eleanor, and Maisie wasn't one of those stringy, weightless 9-year-olds. "Fine," Eleanor groaned. She scooted over carefully, like she was on thin ice, and pushed her grapefruit box behind her into the corner. Maisie climbed up and sat on Eleanor's pillow. "What are you reading?" "Watership Down." Maisie wasn't paying attention. She folded her arms and leaned toward Eleanor. "We know you have a boyfriend," she whispered. Eleanor's heart stopped. "I don't have a boyfriend," she said blankly and immediately. "We already know," Maisie said. Eleanor looked over at Ben sitting in the closet. He stared at her without giving up a thing. Thanks to Richie, they were all experts in the blank face department. They should find some family poker tournament.
"Bobby told us," Maisie said. "Her big sister goes with Josh Sheridan, and Josh says you're his brother's girlfriend. Ben said you weren't, and Bobby laughed at him."
Ben didn't flinch. "Are you going to tell Mom?" Eleanor asked. "May as well cut to the chase."
"We haven't told her yet," Maisie said.
"Are you going to?" Eleanor resisted the urge to shove Maisie off the bed. Maisie would go nuclear. "He'll make me leave, you know," Eleanor said fiercely. "If I'm lucky, that's the worst that'll happen."
"We're not going to tell," Ben whispered. "But it's not fair," Maisie said, slumping against the wall.
"What?" Eleanor said.
"It's not fair that you get to leave all the time," Maisie said.
"What do you want me to do?" Eleanor asked. They both stared at her, desperate and almost hopeful. Everything anybody ever said in this house was desperate. Desperate was white noise as far as Eleanor was concerned. It was the hope that pulled at her heart with dirty little fingers. She was pretty sure she was wired wrong somewhere, that her plugs were switched, because instead of softening toward them, instead of tenderness, she felt herself go cold and mean. "I can't take you with me," she said, "if that's what you're thinking."
"Why not?" Ben said. "We'll just hang out with the other kids."
"There are no other kids," Eleanor said. "It's not like that."
"You don't care about us," Maisie said.
"I do care," Eleanor hissed. "I just can't help you." The door opened and Mouse wandered in.
Ben, where's my car, Ben? Where's my car?
Ben! He jumped on Ben for no reason. Sometimes you didn't know until after Mouse jumped on you whether he was hugging you or trying to kill you. Ben tried to push Mouse off as quietly as he could. Eleanor threw a book at him. A paperback. God. Mouse ran out of the room and Eleanor leaned out of her bed to close the door. She could practically open her dresser without getting out of bed.
"I can't help you," she said.
It felt like letting go of them in deep water.
"I can't even help myself."
Maisie's face was hard. "Please don't tell," Eleanor said. Maisie and Ben exchanged looks again. Then Maisie, still hard and gray, turned to Eleanor.
"Will you let us use your stuff?"
"What stuff?" Eleanor asked.
"Your comics," Ben said.
"They're not mine."
"Your makeup," Maisie said.
They'd probably cataloged her whole freaking bed. Her grapefruit box was packed with contraband these days, all of it from Park. They were already into everything, she was sure.
"You have to put it away when you're done," Eleanor said.
"And the comics aren't mine, Ben. They're borrowed. You have to keep them nice."
"And if you get caught," she turned to Maisie, "Mom will take it all away, especially the makeup. None of us will have it then."
They both nodded.
"I would have let you use some anyway," she said to Maisie. "You just had to ask."
"Liar," Maisie said. And she was right.
Park. Wednesdays were the worst. No Eleanor, and his dad ignored him all through dinner and taekwondo. Park wondered if it was just the eyeliner that had done it, or if the eyeliner had been the pencil that broke the camel's back. Like Park had spent 16 years acting weak and weird and girly, and his dad had borne it on his massive shoulders. And then one day, Park put on makeup, and that was it. His dad just shrugged him off. "Your dad loves you," Eleanor said, and she was right. But it didn't matter. That was table stakes. His dad loved him in a completely obligatory way, like Park loved Josh. His dad couldn't stand the sight of him. Park kept wearing eyeliner to school, and he kept washing it off when he got home. And his dad kept acting like he wasn't there.
Eleanor. It was just a matter of time now. If Maisie and Ben knew, their mom would find out. Either the kids would tell her or she'd find some clue Eleanor had overlooked or something. It would be something. Eleanor didn't have anywhere to hide her secrets. In a box on her bed. At Park's house a block away. She was running out of time with him. Chapter 39. Eleanor. Thursday night after dinner, Park's grandma came over to have her hair set, and his mom disappeared into the garage. His dad was messing with the plumbing under the sink, replacing the garbage disposal. Park was trying to tell Eleanor about a tape he'd bought, Elvis Costello. He couldn't shut up about it. There are a couple songs you might like, ballady stuff, but the rest is really fast. Like punk? She wrinkled her nose. She could stand a few Dead Milkmen songs, but other than that, she hated Park's punk music. I feel like they're yelling at me, she'd say when he tried to put punk on her mixtapes. Stop yelling at me, Glenn Danzig. That's Henry Rollins. They all sound the same when they're yelling at me. Lately, Park was really into new wave music, or post-punk or something. He went through bands like Eleanor went through books. No, he said. Elvis Costello is more musical. Gentler. I'll dub you a copy. Or you could just play it for me, now. Park tilted his head. That would involve going into my room. Okay, she said, not quite casually. Okay, he asked. Months of no and now okay? Okay, Eleanor said. You're always saying that your mom doesn't care. My mom doesn't care. So? Park stood up jerkily, grinning, and pulled her up. He stopped at the kitchen. We're going to listen to music in my room. Fine, his dad said from under the sink. Just don't get anybody pregnant. That should have been embarrassing, but Park's dad had a way of cutting past embarrassing. Eleanor wished he wasn't ignoring them all the time. Park's mom probably let him have girls in his room because you could practically see into his room from the living room, and you had to walk by it to get to the bathroom. But to Eleanor, it still felt incredibly private. She couldn't get over the fact that Park spent most of his time in this room horizontal. It was only a 90-degree difference, but imagining him that way blew all her fuses. Also, he changed his clothes in here. There was no place to sit but on his bed, which Eleanor wouldn't consider, so they sat between his bed and his stereo, where there was just enough room to sit with their legs bent. As soon as they sat down, Park started fast-forwarding through the Elvis Costello tape. He had stacks and stacks of tapes, and Eleanor pulled a few out to look at them. Ah, Park said, pained. What? Those are alphabetized. It's okay, I know the alphabet. Right. He looked embarrassed. Sorry. Whenever Cal comes over, he always messes them up. Okay, this is the song I wanted you to hear. Listen. Cal comes over? Yeah, sometimes. Park turned up the volume. It's been a while. Because now I just come over. Which is okay with me, because I like you a lot more. But you don't miss your other friends? She asked. You're not listening, he said. Neither are you. He paused the tape, like he didn't want to waste this song as background music. Sorry, he said. We're talking about whether I miss Cal. I eat lunch with him almost every day. And he doesn't mind that you spend the rest of your time with me now? None of your friends mind?
Park ran his hand through his hair. I still see them all at school. I don't know, I don't really miss them. I've never really missed anybody but you.
But you don't miss me now, she said. We're together all the time.
Are you kidding? I miss you constantly.
Even though Park washed his face as soon as he got home, the black around his eyes didn't come off completely. It made everything he did lately seem more dramatic. "That's crazy," she said. Park started laughing.
"I know."
She wanted to tell him about Maisie and Ben and their days being numbered, etc., but he wouldn't understand. And what did she expect him to do? Park pushed play. "What's this song called?" she asked.
"Allison."
Park. Park played Elvis Costello for her, and Joe Jackson and Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers. She teased him because it was all so pretty and melodic and in the same phylum as Hall & Oates, and he threatened to evict her from his room. When his mom came to check on them, they were sitting with 100 cassette tapes between them, and as soon as she walked away, Park leaned over and kissed Eleanor. It seemed like the best time not to get caught. She was a little too far away, so he put his hand on her back and pulled her toward him. He tried to do it like it was something he did all the time, as if touching her someplace new wasn't like discovering the Northwest Passage. Eleanor came closer. She put her hands on the floor between them and leaned into him, which was so encouraging that he put his other hand on her waist. And then it was too much to be almost but not really holding her. Park rocked forward onto his knees and pulled her tighter. Half a dozen cassette tapes cracked under their weight. Eleanor fell back and Park fell forward.
"I'm sorry," she said. "Oh, God, look what we did to meet his murder."
Park sat back and looked at the tapes. He wanted to sweep them out of the way. "It's mostly just the cases, I think," he said. "Don't worry about it." He started picking up the broken plastic.
"The Smiths and the Smithereens," she said. "We even broke them in alphabetical order."
He tried to smile at her, but she wouldn't look at him.
"I should go," she said. "I think it's almost 8 anyway."
"Oh, okay, I'll walk you." She stood up and Park followed her. They walked outside and down the walk, and when they got to his grandparents' driveway, Eleanor didn't stop.
Eleanor. Maisie smelled like an Avon lady, and she was made up like the whore of Babylon. They were definitely going to get caught. Talk about a house of effing cards. Jesus. And Eleanor couldn't even think strategy because all she could think about was Park's hands on her waist and her back and her stomach, which all must feel like nothing he'd ever encountered. Everyone in Park's family was skinny enough to be in a Special K commercial, even his grandma. Eleanor could only be in that scene where the actress pinches an inch, then looks at the camera like the world is going to end. Actually, she'd have to lose weight to be in that scene. You could pinch an inch, or two, or three, all over Eleanor's body. You could probably pinch an inch on her forehead. Holding hands was fine. Her hands weren't a complete embarrassment. And kissing seemed safe because fat lips are okay, and because Park usually closed his eyes. But there was no safe place on Eleanor's torso. There was no place from her neck to her knees where she had any discernible infrastructure. As soon as Park touched her waist, she'd sucked in her stomach and pitched forward, which led to all the collateral damage, which made her feel like Godzilla. But even Godzilla wasn't fat. He was just ginormous. The maddening part was, Eleanor wanted Park to touch her again. She wanted him to touch her constantly. Even if it led to Park deciding that she was way too much like a walrus to remain his girlfriend, that's how good it felt. She was like one of those dogs who've tasted human blood and can't stop biting. A walrus who's tasted human blood. Chapter 40. Eleanor. Park wanted Eleanor to start checking her books now, especially after gym class. "Because if it is Tina," he said, you could tell that he still didn't believe that it was, "you need to tell somebody." "Tell who?" They were sitting in his room, leaning against his bed, trying to pretend that Park didn't have his arm around her for the first time since she crushed his cassette tapes. Just barely, not quite around her.
"You could tell Mrs. Dunn," he said. She likes you. Okay, so I tell Mrs. Dunn, and I show her whatever awful thing Tina has misspelled on my books. And then Mrs. Dunn asks, how do you know that Tina wrote that? She'll be just as skeptical as you were, but without the complicated romantic history. There's no complicated romantic history, Park said. Did you kiss her? Eleanor hadn't meant to ask that, out loud. It was almost like she'd asked it so many times in her head that it leaked out. Mrs. Dunn? No, but we've hugged a lot. You know what I mean. Did you kiss her? She was sure that he'd kissed her. She was sure that they'd done other stuff, too. Tina was so little, Park could probably wrap his arms all the way around her and shake his own hands at her waist. I don't want to talk about this, he said. Because you did, Eleanor said. It doesn't matter. It does matter. Was it your first kiss? Yeah, he said. And that's one of the reasons it doesn't count. It was like a practice pitch. What are the other reasons? It was Tina. I was 12. I didn't even like girls yet. But you'll always remember it, she said. It was your first kiss. I'll remember that it didn't matter, Park said. Eleanor wanted to let this go. The most trustworthy voices in her head were shouting, let it go. But, she said, how could you kiss her? I was 12. But she's awful. She was 12 too. But how could you kiss her and then kiss me? I didn't even know you existed. Park's arm suddenly made contact, full contact with Eleanor's waist. He pressed into her side and she sat up instinctively, trying to spread herself thinner. There aren't even roads between Tina and me, she said. How could you like us both? Did you have a life-changing head injury in junior high? Park put his other arm around her. Please, listen to me. It was nothing. It doesn't matter. It matters, Eleanor whispered. Now that his arms were around her, there was almost no space between them. Because you were the first person I ever kissed. And that matters. He set his forehead against hers. She didn't know what to do with her eyes or her hands. Nothing before you counts, he said. And I can't even imagine an after. She shook her head. Don't. What? Don't talk about after. I just meant that I want to be the last person who ever kisses you too. That sounds bad, like a death threat or something. What I'm trying to say is you're it. This is it for me. Don't! She didn't want him to talk like this. She'd meant to push him, but not this far. Eleanor, I don't want to think about an after. That's what I'm saying. Maybe there won't be one. Of course there will! She put her hands on his chest so that she could push him away if she had to. I mean, God, of course there will. It's not like we're going to get married, Park. Not now. Stop! She tried to roll her eyes, but it hurt. I'm not proposing, he said. I'm just saying, I love you. And I can't imagine stopping. She shook her head. But you're 12. I'm 16, he said. Bono was 15 when he met his wife, and Robert Smith was 14. Romeo, sweet Romeo. It's not like that, Eleanor, and you know it. Park's arms were tight around her. All the playfulness in his voice was gone. There's no reason to think we're going to stop loving each other, he said. And there's every reason to think that we won't. I never said I loved you, Eleanor thought. And even after he kissed her, she kept her hands on his chest. So anyway, Park wanted her to start checking her book covers, especially after gym class. So now Eleanor waited until almost everybody else had changed and left the locker room, and then she carefully examined her books for anything suspicious. It was all very clinical. Denise and Bibi usually waited with her. It meant that they were late for lunch sometimes, but it also meant that they could all change in relative privacy, which they should have thought of months ago.
There didn't seem to be anything pervy written on Eleanor's books today. In fact, Tina had ignored her all through class. Even Tina's sidekicks, even thuggy Annette, seemed bored with Eleanor. "I think they've run out of ways to make fun of my hair," Eleanor said to Denise while she looked over her algebra book. "They could call you Ronald McDonald," Denise said. "Have they called you that?" "Or Wendy," Phoebe said, lowering her voice and calling, "Where's the beef?" "Shut up," Eleanor said, looking around the locker room. "Little pitchers." "They're all gone," Denise said. "Everybody's gone. They're all in the cafeteria, eating my macho nachos. Hurry up, girl." "You go ahead," Eleanor said. "Get us a place in line. I still have to change." "All right," Denise said. "But stop looking at those books. You said it yourself. There's nothing there. Come on, Bibi." Eleanor started packing up her books. She heard Bibi shout, "Where's the beef?" from the locker room door. Dork. Eleanor opened up her locker. It was empty. Huh. She tried the one above it. Nothing. And nothing below. No. Eleanor started over, opening all the lockers on the wall, then moving on to the next wall, trying not to panic. Maybe they'd just moved her clothes. Ha, funny. Super good joke, Tina. "What are you doing?" Mrs. Bird asked. "Looking for my clothes," Eleanor said. "You should use the same locker every time, so it's easy to remember." "No, I think somebody took them." "Those little bitches." Mrs. Burt sighed like she couldn't imagine a bigger hassle. Mrs. Burt started opening lockers at the other end of the room. Eleanor checked the trash and the showers. Then Mrs. Burt called out from the bathroom. "Found them." Eleanor walked into the bathroom. The floor was wet, and Mrs. Burt was standing in a stall. "I'll get a bag," Mrs. Burt said, pushing past Eleanor. Eleanor looked down at the toilet. Even though she knew what she was going to see there, it still felt like a wet slap in the face. Her new jeans and her cowboy shirt were in a dark pile in the bowl, and her shoes were crammed under the lip. Somebody had flushed the toilet, and there was water still spilling over the edge. Eleanor watched it run. "Here," Mrs. Burt said, handing Eleanor a yellow Food for Less bag. "Fish 'em out." "I don't want them," Eleanor said, backing away. She couldn't wear them anymore anyway. Everybody would know those were her toilet clothes. "Well, you can't leave them there," Mrs. Burt said. "Fish them out." Eleanor stared at her clothes. "Come on," Mrs. Burt said. Eleanor reached into the toilet and felt tears slipping down her cheeks. Mrs. Burt held the bag open. "You've got to stop letting them get to you, you know," she said. "You just encourage them." "Yeah, thanks," Eleanor thought, wringing out her jeans over the toilet. She wanted to wipe her eyes, but her hands were wet. Mrs. Burt handed her the bag. "Come on," she said. "I'll write you a pass." "For where?" Eleanor asked. "Your counselor's office." Eleanor took a sharp breath. "I can't walk down the hall like this. What do you want from me, Eleanor?" That was obviously a rhetorical question. Mrs. Burt wasn't even looking at her. Eleanor followed her to the coach's office and waited for the pass. As soon as she got out to the hallway, the tears came on hard. She couldn't walk through the school like this, in her gym suit, in front of boys. And everybody. In front of Tina. God, Tina was probably selling tickets outside the cafeteria. Eleanor couldn't do it. Not like this. It wasn't just that her gym suit was ugly. Polyester, one piece, red and white stripes with an extra long white zipper. It was also extremely tight. The shorts just barely cleared her underwear, and the fabric was stretched so tight over her chest the seams were starting to pop under her arms. She was a tragedy in that gym suit, a 10-car pileup. People were already showing up for the next gym class. A few freshman girls looked at Eleanor, then started whispering. Her bag was dripping. Before she could think it through, Eleanor turned the wrong way down the hall and headed for the door to the football field. She acted like she was supposed to be walking out of the building in the middle of the day, like she was on some kind of weeping, half-dressed, drippy bag mission. The door clicked locked behind her, and Eleanor crouched against it, letting herself fall apart. Just for a minute. God. God. There was a trash can sitting right outside the door, and she got up and hurled the food for less bag into it. She wiped her eyes with her gym suit. Okay, she told herself, taking a deep breath. Get it together. Don't let them get to you. Those were her new jeans in the trash, and her favorite shoes, her Vans. She walked over to the trash and shook her head, reaching down for the bag. Fuck you, Tina. Fuck you to the moon. She took another deep breath and started walking. There were no classrooms on this end of the school, so at least no one was watching her. She stuck close to the building, and when she turned the corner, she walked under the row of windows. She thought about walking right home, but that might be worse. It'd definitely be longer. If she could just get to the front door, the counselor's offices were right inside. Mrs. Dunn would help her. Mrs. Dunn wouldn't tell her not to cry. The security guard at the front door acted like girls were wandering in and out in their gym clothes all day long. He glanced at Eleanor's pass and waved her on. Almost there, Eleanor thought. Don't run, just a few more doors. She really should have expected Park to walk through one of them. Ever since the first day they'd met, Eleanor was always seeing him in unexpected places. It was like their lives were overlapping lines, like they had their own gravity. Usually, that serendipity felt like the nicest thing the universe had ever done for her. Park walked out of a door on the opposite side of the hallway and stopped as soon as he saw her. She tried to look away, but she didn't do it soon enough. Park's face turned red. He stared at her. She pulled down her shorts and stumbled forward, running the last few steps to the counselor's offices. You don't have to go back there, her mom said after Eleanor had told her the whole story. Almost the whole story. Eleanor thought for a moment about what she'd do if she didn't go back to school. Stay here all day? And then what? It's okay, she said. Mrs. Dunn had driven Eleanor home herself, and she'd promised to bring a padlock for her gym locker. Eleanor's mom dumped the yellow plastic bag into the bathtub and started rinsing out the clothes, wrinkling her nose, even though they didn't smell. Girls are so mean, she said. You're lucky to have one friend you can trust. Eleanor must have looked confused. Tina, her mom said. You're lucky to have Tina. Eleanor nodded. She stayed home that night, even though it was Friday, and Park's family always watched movies and made popcorn in the air popper on Fridays. She couldn't face him. All she'd see was the look on his face in the hallway. She'd feel like she was still standing there in her gym suit.
Chapter 41. Park. Park went to bed early. His mom kept bothering him about Eleanor.
Where's Eleanor tonight? She running late? You get in fight?
Every time she said Eleanor's name, Park felt his face go hot.
I can tell that something's wrong, his mom said at dinner. Did you get in fight? Did you break up again?
No, Park said. I think maybe she went home sick. She wasn't on the bus.
I have a girlfriend now, Josh said.
Could she start coming over?
No girlfriend, their mom said. Too young. I'm almost 13.
Sure, their dad said. Your girlfriend can come over, if you're willing to give up your Nintendo.
What?
Josh was stricken.
Why?
Because I said so, his dad said. Is it a deal?
No, no way, Josh said. Does Park have to give up Nintendo?
Yep, Is that okay with you, Park?
Fine.
I'm like Billy Jack, their dad said. A warrior and a shaman.
It wasn't much of a conversation, but it was the most his dad had said to Park in weeks. Maybe his dad had been bracing for the entire neighborhood to swarm the house with torches and pitchforks as soon as they saw Park with eyeliner. But almost nobody cared. Not even his grandparents. His grandma said he looked like Rudolph Valentino, and he heard his grandpa tell his dad,
"You should have seen what kids look like while you were in Korea."
"I'm going to bed," Park said, standing up from the table. "I don't feel well either."
"So if Park doesn't get to play Nintendo anymore," Josh asked, "can I put it in my room?"
"Park can play Nintendo whenever he wants," their dad said.
"God," Josh said, "everything you guys do is unfair."
Park turned off his light and crawled onto his bed. He lay on his back because he didn't trust his front, or his hands, actually, or his brain. After he saw Eleanor today, it hadn't occurred to him, not for at least an hour, to wonder why she was walking down the hall in her gym suit. And it took him another hour to realize he should have said something to her. He could have said, "Hey," or "What's going on?" or "Are you okay?" Instead, he'd stared at her like he'd never seen her before. He felt like he'd never seen her before. It's not like he hadn't thought about it a lot. Eleanor under her clothes. But he could never fill in any of the details. The only women he could actually picture naked were the women in the magazines his dad every once in a while remembered to hide under his bed. Magazines like that made Eleanor freak. Just mention Hugh Hefner, and she'd be off for half an hour on prostitution and slavery and the fall of Rome. Park hadn't told her about his dad's 20-year-old playboys, but he hadn't touched them since he met her. He could fill in some of the details now. He could picture Eleanor. He couldn't stop picturing her. Why hadn't he ever noticed how tight those gym suits were? And how short? And why hadn't he expected her to be so grown up? To have so much negative space? He closed his eyes and saw her again. A stack of freckled heart shapes. A perfectly made Dairy Queen ice cream cone. Like Betty Boop, drawn with a heavy hand. "Hey," he thought. "What's going on? Are you okay?" She must not be. She hadn't been on the bus on the way home. She hadn't come over after school. And tomorrow was Saturday. What if he didn't see her all weekend? How could he even look at her now? He wouldn't be able to. Not without stripping her down to her gym suit. Without thinking about that long, white zipper. Jesus.
Chapter 42. Park. His family was going to the boat show the next day, then out to lunch and maybe to the mall. Park took forever to eat his breakfast and take a shower.
"Come on, Park," his dad said sharply. "Get dressed and put your makeup on." Like he'd wear makeup to the boat show.
"Come on," his mom said, checking her lipstick in the hall mirror. "You know your dad hates crowds."
"Do I have to go?"
"You don't want to go?"
She scrunched and fluffed the back of her hair.
"No, I do," Park said. He didn't.
"But what if Eleanor comes over? I don't want to miss the chance to talk to her." "Is something wrong? You sure you didn't fight?"
"No, no fight. I'm just worried about her. And you know I can't call her house."
His mom turned away from the mirror.
"Okay," she said, frowning. "You stay, but vacuum, okay? And put away a big pile of black clothes on your floor."
"Thanks," Park said. He hugged her. "Park! Mindy!" His dad was standing at the front door. "Let's go!"
"Park's staying home," his mom said. "We go!"
His dad flashed him a look, but didn't argue. Park wasn't used to being home alone. He vacuumed. He put his clothes away. He made himself a sandwich and watched a Young Ones marathon on MTV, then fell asleep on the couch. When he heard the doorbell, he jerked up to answer it before he was awake. His heart was pounding, the way it does sometimes when you sleep too hard in the middle of the day, like you can't remember how to wake up. He was sure it was Eleanor. He opened the door without checking.
Eleanor. Their car wasn't in the driveway, so Eleanor figured Park's family wasn't home. They were probably off doing awesome family stuff, eating lunch at Bonanza and having their portraits taken in matching sweaters. She'd already given up on the door when it opened, and before she could act embarrassed and uncomfortable about yesterday, or pretend that she wasn't, Park was opening the screen door and pulling her in by her shirt sleeve. He didn't even close the door before he put his arms around her, his entire arms, all down the length of her back. Park usually held Eleanor with his hands on her waist like they were slow dancing. This wasn't slow dancing. This was something else. His arms were around her, and his face was in her hair, and there was no place for the rest of her to go but against him. He was warm, like really warm, and fuzzy soft, like a sleeping baby, she thought. Sort of. Not exactly. She tried to feel embarrassed again. Park kicked the door closed and fell back on it, pulling her even tighter. His hair was clean and straight and flopping into his eyes, and his eyes were nearly closed. Fuzzy. Soft. "Were you sleeping?" she whispered, like he still might be. He didn't answer, but his mouth fell on hers, open, and her head fell back into his hand. He was holding her so close, there was nowhere to hide. She couldn't sit up or suck in or keep any secrets. Park made a noise, and it hummed in her throat. She could feel all 10 of his fingers, on her neck, on her back. Her own hands hung stupidly at her side, like they weren't even in the same scene as his, like she wasn't even in the same scene. Park must have noticed because he pulled his mouth back. He tried to wipe it on the shoulder of his T-shirt, and he looked at her like he was seeing her for the first time since she got there. "Hey," he said, taking a breath, focusing. "What's going on? Are you okay?" Eleanor looked at Park's face, so full of something she couldn't quite place. His chin hung forward like his mouth didn't want to pull away from her, and his eyes were so green they could turn carbon dioxide into oxygen. He was touching her all the places she was afraid to be touched. Eleanor tried one last time to be embarrassed.
Park. For a second, he thought he'd gone too far. He hadn't even meant to. He was practically sleepwalking. And he'd been thinking about Eleanor, dreaming about her for so many hours. Wanting her made him stupid. She was so still in his arms. He thought for a second that he'd gone too far, that he'd tripped a wire. And then Eleanor touched him. She touched his neck. It's hard to say why this was different from all the other times she'd touched him. She was different. She was still, and then she wasn't. She touched his neck, then drew a line down his chest. Park wished that he was taller and broader. He hoped she wouldn't stop. She was so gentle compared to him. Maybe she didn't want him like he wanted her, but even if she wanted him half as much.
Eleanor. This is how she touched him in her head. From jaw to neck to shoulder. He was so much warmer than she expected, and harder. Like all his muscles and bones were right on the surface, like his heart was beating just under his T-shirt. She touched Park softly, gingerly, just in case she touched him wrong.
Park. He relaxed against the door. He felt Eleanor's hand on his throat, on his chest, then took her other hand and pressed it to his face. He made a noise like he was hurt and decided to feel self-conscious about it later. If he was shy now, he wouldn't get anything that he wanted.
Eleanor. Park was